we were looking at our sugi about the actual hekdesh and as to what is the status of the pot if it was made with atzei hekdesh, the issue of yeshvachetzi bepat matzei hekdesh, the issue of zedes egorim in the world of hekdesh. And the Gemara all of a sudden said, what's going on over here? So, masik atzei hekdesh, that's me'ila. And in me'ila, there's yitzia l'chulin. And so, what's the whole issue over here about the pot? The pot is being made with chulin. This principle over here, that me'ila is motzi l'chulin, it's a Mishnah in me'ila on daf yutes ha'madeis, where the Mishnah distinguishes between two situations. We have one situation of ein me'ila achar me'ila. This is what we call classically yitzia l'chulin. And then the Mishnah says, however, in the situation of behema and kelim, and on purpose writing it in the broadest sense, there we say that that's an exception. There, really, there's no yitzia l'chulin. What are these two categories? So here we pointed out, we have a machlokes rishon. Try and find them. Here we have a focus we're showing. Rashi understands that we're dealing with the distinction between kodshei haguf and kodshei bet hakabayis. That in the world of kedushas haguf, nothing happens with the me'ila. The animal is still the same animal. It may be worth less, but who cares? It's still brought as a korban. The kli sharis can still be used as a kli sharis. There's no change in terms of the yud of the kli, so it doesn't go l'chulin. Masha'enken and koche beda kavayis, the whole purpose of it is for pidyon. It loses value. You've bit into the kedusha. You have been pogeya in the kedusha, and that then you end up yitzil achul. And then with the concept of me'ila, that you know, which brings about a yitzil achulin, according to Rashi, is pigia the kedusha. If there's pigia in the kedusha, then it goes out l'chulin. If there's no pigia in the kedusha, namely the object can still be used for the same function, then it doesn't go out l'chulin. That's Rashi. However, the Rambam takes a different approach. He says, no, we're talking about in both situations kodshei beda kavayis. This is kodshei beda kavayis, and this is kodshei beda kavayis. However, it depends how you're using it. If you're using it b'tor yitzi'ah, Hanoas Yitzia, or Me'ilas Yitzia, if you're handing it over to someone else, then we say it goes out to Chulin. Masha'enken, when we have a pure Hana'a, you're using it, you're being mishtamish with it, etc., then it doesn't go out to Chulin. So we spoke in terms of the Rambam, the Kaner Eh, we're dealing over here with the Tegia in the world of Gezel. Namely, that when you're actually stealing it, when you're taking it from Hekdesh, then it works. That's the Gezel, the Kinyane Gzela, and it goes to the person who is stealing. So over here, it goes out to Chulin. It's not a Pigia in the Kedusha, but rather we need some level of Gezel. Where did the Rambam come up with this? Because what he has to say is that over here, Behema is even Koshe Benekabai, it's even a Chamor. Kalim are not Klesharis, that they're simply any kli chol which was given over to Hekdesh, we're dealing with kodshei beda kavayis. So he pointed out that the Rambam saw in front of him a Tosefta. That the Tosefta points out that we have situations of kodshei beda kavayis where it doesn't go out to chulin. The Tosefta deals with a kardom, and the kardom, the Tosefta says, it depends what you do with it. If you use it and someone else uses it, and a third person uses it, it doesn't go out to chulin. Each of you are moel. Only if you give it to another person, that person, then it goes out to chulin. So the distinction the Rambam makes between the yitzia and the hana'a, that's the tosefta. What would Rashi do with this tosefta? So he could do what the Raita does with it, and says that when you have a mishnah, that's the sifting of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He chose the mishnayis that have halachic significance, and he rejected the Toseftas that didn't have halachic significance. I mean, we reject the Tosefta if it goes against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Koche Bede Kabayis, Yitzia L'chulin. Only Kedusha Saguf is only Yitzia L'chulin. And Tosefta simply reject. That's the easiest way of dealing with it. But Tosos didn't want to take that approach. Tosos also saw the Tosefta in front of him. And so, what Tosis pointed out is that even when we're dealing in the world of Hana'ah, even when we're dealing within the world of Hana'ah, then in Koshe Bede Kamayis, it's irrelevant if we're dealing with a Mi'ila of Yitziyah, a Mi'ila of Hana'ah. As Rashi pointed out, the moment it's Koshe Bede Kamayis, we have a problem. However, there is a condition according to Tosfos. The condition is that when we're talking on the level of Hana'ah, Hana'ah means basically Shimush. And Shimush is, we have a principle of Shal Shalamidas is a Gazla. Namely, Yitziyah and Hana'ah are both forms of Gezel. Not like the Rambam wants to say that when you give it to someone, that's a form of Gezel. Using it is not a form of Gezel. Using it is also a form of Gezel. Shal Shalamidas is a Gazla. However, if we could think of Ukimtot, where there's no Gezela, where you have Hana'ah, B'li Gezel, those ukimtot is where the kedusha remains. Where we would have an ukimta where you have hanoah without gezel, I the shimush by its nature is gezel. So here Tosfos offers two ukimtos. One is a shimush chad pa'ami that maybe we will simply restructure our concept of shalosh shalomidas. One is shalosh shalomidas to gazlan. That's when I borrow something and I take the object and I leave it in my house. I know it belongs to you, but I'm leaving it in my house. I borrow your lawnmower, and I use it, and then I use it again, and I use it again. Right? I borrow your
Your sefer.
I use it again and again and again without your permission. That's the shol shemanasu zegazlan. But if I know that it's yours, I'm just using it once. Chad pa'ami. So that, you know, is not gezel. Again, we don't paskin this way, but that would be the case of the hema Caleb. Kardom, you're using it either chad pa'ami, or we could have the shimush hayidei hagizbor. That the gizbor, when he thinks that it's his, in other words, it's in his home. He has his object in his own.
Bais?
What
is gizbor? Bedek bais?
We're talking within the world of bedek bais.
Right. So doesn't he have certain rishiyot?
So he's the gizbar. He's in charge of hektish, but he also has his own things, and he is under the impression that this is his Rambam. He doesn't realize that it's the Rambam of hektish. He thinks it's his chumash. It doesn't realize it's the chumash of hektish. So over there, we're dealing with a situation of gezel b'shogeg, shol shalmidas b'shogeg. It's okay that's not considered to be a shol shalmidas. These are sugyos in Baba Kama. That we're dealing that whenever you don't have the principle of here is when you have gezel. Gezel can either be yitziyah, I'm handing it over to someone else, I'm transferring ownership, or shimush on the level of shol shalomidas as a gazlan. But if we can think of that, how we could have a shol shalomidas that's not a gazlan, then there would be no yitziyah. So according to the Tosfos, also he would agree with Tosfos that we're dealing with the tegiyah of gezel. The only that these are the motzi lechulin. Question is just how do we define the gezel? According to Tosfos, we're dealing with a form of hotza'ah. According to the Rambam, it's not only hotza'ah, it's also hana'ah with the shimush that would make the person a gazla. Okay, that this is what we have up to this point. Okay, that we're pointing out that the yitziyah lechulin we're either distinguishing between the forms of hekdesh, koshe berakabayis, as opposed to gushu tagut, or the ofi, the nature of the mi'ila, are we taking it out, or are we using it? Or even within the usage, are we using it in a way that it's gezel, or are we using it in a way where it's not gezel? These are all the permutations that we've seen up to this point. That's what the Gemara says over here. And of Kavzayin, Amid Beis. Kolhecha de Moal Hamasik Nafkulei Lechulen. We're dealing over here with Atzei Hekdesh. They're kedushas zedek havayis. They are being used up, right? They are being burnt. So then, lechora, according to Rashi, we should have yitzi lechulin by the fact that it's kedushas zedek havayis. According to the Rambam, we should have yitzi lechulin because we have a Yetziah. We are taking it out of the world. According to Tosfos, also we are taking it out of the world. So according to all these Deos, by Atzei Hekdesh, we should have a Yetziah Lechua. And that's the Gemara's question. That's the Gemara's question. So how does the Gemara answer this question? The Gemara answers this question by pointing out that we're dealing with this very, very specific type of Atzei Hekdesh. Amar Rav Papa, Hacha ba'atzei Shlamim Askinan, that it was given for a directed use to purchase, to be nifta and to purchase shlamim with the money. The aliba de Rav Yehuda de Amar hekdesh b'shogeg mischalel b'mezid ein mischalel ma'itayma kevan de lav bar. Okay, b'mezid ein mischalel. Why? What does this have to do with Rav Yehuda? My time ago, kevon the lav bar meila hu lo nafka chulin shlamim nami kevon the lav bar meila ninhu lo nafka lechulin. Okay, what's going on over here? So up to now we pointed out that whether you're going to have yitzil lechulin depends on two factors. It depends firstly on what type of hekdesh, and secondly what type of usage. Those are the two factors that we take into account. We put these two factors into the computer, and it comes out, is it Yetzir L'chulin, or is there not Yetzir L'chulin? According to Rashi, the moment it's Kosher Bedek Abayis, is Yetzir L'chulin. According to Rambam, not so simple. You need Kosher Bedek Abayis, but also Hodas Yetzir. According to Tosfos, not so simple. It could be even Kosher Bedek Abayis and Shimush, but a Shimush of a type, which would be the equivalent of Geza. Comes along, the Gemara points out, there's one more factor. There's one more factor we have to take into account, and that is that we have two tracks of Me'ilah. We have Me'ilah b'shogeg, and we have Me'ilah b'mezid. The distinction between them is that in the world of mezid, when a person is mo'al b'mezid, we have an Iser d'oraisa. And if you recall, in a previous Gilgul, we tried to find the source of this Iser d'oraisa. Is it learned out from Truma? Is it learned out from what were the other options from a pasuk in Re'eh in terms of losucha lechol b'sharecha v'chol nedavecha? We had a Rambam and a Ravid and Tosfos and Rashi. What's the source of the Iser Me'ilah? But it's an Iser d'oraisa. And then when you're mo'el b'shogeg, we have not only the Iser d'oraisa, but we also have a Karen and a Chomesh and the Nasha. That we have this package deal when we're dealing on the world of Shogeg. That Shogeg, not only do we have an Iser d'oraisa, but there's also a form of Kapara. In the world of Mezid, there's an Iser d'oraisa without a form of Kapara. That makes, like in general, in other words, that if you're Machalal Shabbos, there's Skila, or there's Kares. You're Machalal Shabbos b'Shogeg, then we have a Korban Chata. So over here also, the whole parsha of Keren, Chomesh, and Asham, this is the Kapara. We have a Kapara which it consists of Mamanos and Korbanos. This is only the world of Shogeg. In the world of Mezid, we have an Iser d'oraisa, but without the option of Kapara. Doesn't mean that you're lost forever. There's Tshuva. But there's no Kapara within the world of ritual. The assumption of Chazal is that only in one of these two situations are we going to have a Yetziah Lechulin. And the question is, which? And that's a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Right. In the Mishnah in Kedushim and Daf Nun Beis and Amadeis, and it's quoted again in the Gemara in Kedushim and Daf Nun Dalet and Amadeis, Rav Meir holds that in Mezid we have a Yetziah Lechulin. However, in Shogeg, this is not lo yotzei l'chulin. And Rav Yehuda holds the opposite, that in Mezid it's not yotzei l'chulin, and in Shogeg it's yotzei l'chulin. Now let's try and understand what in the world is going on over here. We pointed out, what's the concept of yotzei l'chulin? We're either pogeya in the kedusha, in the yiud, in the destiny of the hekdesh, or we have a pogeya on the world of gezel, with two different permutations. These are, to the best of our knowledge, This is what brings about the Yitzhiya v'chulei. If I have to choose between one and the other, if I have to choose between Mezid and Shogeg, and then only in one of these two we're going to have a Yitzhiya v'chulei, a priori, if you were to be woken up in the middle of the night and to ask, where would you have more of Yitzhiya v'chulei? Where would you have more of a pegiyah in the Kedusha, more of a pegiyah in terms of the ownership of Hekdesh, in Mezid or Shogeg, what would you say? Mezid, right? The Rav Meir Shita makes tremendous amounts of sense. That when you go ahead and you know what you're doing, and you go ahead and you take this Hekdesh, and you lower its value, you pull it out of the Rishus of Hekdesh, that's much more chamur than if you weren't even aware that it was Hekdesh, or you weren't aware that there was an Easter of usage, or you weren't aware, v'chulei v'chulei. So Rav Meir Shita makes a tremendous amount of sense. To the degree that the Gemara in Kedushin, Nandaf Nun Dalu and Amadeus asks, if in the world of Shogeg there's no Yitzhiya L'chulin, why do we have a Korban? Namely, what do you have to be Machaper? If you really weren't Pogeya all that much, if you weren't Pogeya to the degree that it's going to go L'chulin, is there really a reason for a Korban? And the Gemara answers, we're talking about a case of Shogeg where you ate it. Namely, it's no longer around. So there's no way that you can do any restitution aside from Keren, Chomesh, and Asham. But the working assumption of the Gemara is that we have over here the Yitzhiya L'chulin is the more that you're involved in the Pegiyah, the more that there's a reason to be Yotzei L'chulin. And maybe you're more involved in the Pegiyah. The Pegiyah is of a greater level. It's a more serious offense. So therefore we have a Yitzhiya L'chulin. In Shogeg, we don't have that great an offense, and lehefech, that we have a chiddush that even though it's not such a bad offense, b'chol zot, you have to have bring a korban chomesh and asham. You shouldn't have been so negligent. You should have known better. You shouldn't have even been close to causing a pegiyah even b'shogeg. Or that's the tremendous chiddush that even in the case of shogeg, there's going to be a requirement of kapara. That's the picture according to Rav Meir. However.
Whether you go according to these two different
right, it's irrelevant.
Even if it's kedusha,
the eker is the pegiyah.
No, I understand why is a chomish when you get involved with carrying a chomish, wouldn't that work well with gezel? You know, making up an estimation of how much you owe, da da da. But if you only were pegiyah in the kedusha, so why do you have to do a carrying
the
chomish? I understand the call.
The bottom line is that you were pegiyah. In other words, again, in both of them. The pegiyah on the level, let's go back to Rashi, on the level of kedusha saguf, this korban can still be brought as a korban. On the level of berak habayis, what you did was that you lowered the value of this hekdesh that used to be able, that was $1,000 pidyon, is now only going to have an $800 pidyon. You that's a pegiyah. In the kedusha, the kedusha means that this is money that was going to be used by Hekdesh, and now there's less money that's going to be used, and that you have to pay for. And we're talking about the mamonos. We're talking about in the world of Berak Havayis, mamonos. The question is as to whether the mamonos is the fact that you attempted to take it to someone else, or simply lowering the value. This pegiyah of kedusha is lowering the value because the yibud is using its value for the purpose for purposes of hektish. Okay, so Rav Meir is beautiful, but our Gemara is not going like Rav Meir. Our Gemara is going like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda appears to be somewhat not all understood. In other words, that when we have shogeg, then it's yotzei l'chulin. Masha Enkein, in the world of Mezid, it's not yotzei l'chulin. In the world of Shogeg, it's Yotzei L'chulin. In the world of Mezid, it's not Yotzei L'chulin. Why that should be? Why that should be that when you did it in Mezid, it's not Yotzei L'chulin, and Shogeg, it's Yotzei L'chulin? I don't have an explanation. Maybe we'll see an explanation at this point. I don't have an explanation. Namely, it's hard to say that Shogeg is more chamur than Mezid. That's a little hard to say. But what we do have is certainly we have an explanation why we have over here Keren Chomesh V'Asham. We really need a kapara over here. This kapara now makes a tremendous amount of sense. The question we asked in Rav Meir, Why need a kapara if there's no yitzir l'chulin? The animal is still there. Over here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this animal was yotzei l'chulin. So you need a kapara. You need a kapara for taking something that was hekdesh, and now it's chulin. You were pogea to the degree that the whole status of hekdesh was taken off of this animal. Namely, the kapara makes that which the Gemara asked on Rav Meir makes perfectly good sense according to Rav Yehuda. That here we have a kapara because it's yotzei l'chulin. So that on that level it makes sense. Why? How is Mesid exempt from all of this? It's very difficult. I have no explanation at this point. However, what we're assuming to this point is that what's the relationship, according to Rav Yehuda, between Yitzia L'chulin and Dinei Me'iva? We're assuming that because it's Yotzei L'chulin, therefore there is a Karen, Komesh, and Osha. Namely, that this is the, you know, it's just the same question we had on Rav Meir. If it's not Yotzei L'chulin, why should there be Dinei Me'iva? According to Rav Yehuda, because it's Yotzei L'chulin, therefore there are Dinei Me'iva. That appears to be the most logical way of understanding the relationship between Yitzia L'chulin and Dinei Me'iva. That Yitzia L'chulin is the cause, and Dinei Me'iva, Karen, Chomesh, and Hashem, are the effect. I was pogea to the degree that the Hekdesh lost the status of Hekdesh. I totally took the holiness out of this object. This object has been defiled. It's now chulin. I was machalal it. If I was machalal it, I now have to do kavara, bring Karen, Chomesh, and Oshem. The language of the Rambam appears very much like this. Kevan Shemo'al, I'm sorry, the other way around, I'm sorry. Not the language of the Rambam. Simply, logically, the Yitzia L'chulin is that which brings about the dinim of Me'ila. That's not the Rambam that I sent you to. There is a Rambam that I didn't give you to look at in the Perush in Mishnayos in the beginning, in his Akdama to Kochim, but you know, it's just logically this is the direction that it should be. However, when we look at our sugya, this is not our sugya. What does our sugya say? Our sugya says we have a shita of Rav Yehuda. Damar hekdesh b'shogeg mischalel b'meizid ein mischalel. My taima b'meizid lo kevan de lo bar me'ilahi lo nafik l'chulin. Shlomim name kevan de lo bar me'ilanin hu lo nafik l'chulin. The Gemara switches it around and it says that according to Rav Yehuda, the dinim of me'ilah create the yitzir l'chulin. Just like as in meizid, where there are no dinim me'ilah, there's no yitzir l'chulin. So also in the world of Shlomim, where there are no dinei me'ila, because Shlomim is kodshei kalin, and me'ila is only by kodshei Hashem, when it's eaten by the mizbeach and the kohanim, masha'en came with Shlomim, where we mortals get involved. There is no dinei me'ila. There are no dinei me'ila. There's no yitzir l'chulin. Namely, that our sugya is taking it in the opposite direction, and that's what the Rambam says. Kevan shemo'al. Nischalal HaKodesh. What's going on over here? And it was to say that when Yitzia L'chulin brings about a need of kapara, that we understand. To say that the Dinei Me'ila bring about a Yitzia L'chulin, that appears to be upside down. But when you think about it, it answers the question we had previously. Why in Mezid is there no Yitzia L'chulin? Because there are no Dinei Me'ila. Namely, that this our sugi's approach of Rav Yehuda starts with Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir, he's viewed Mezid as the Pegiya Chamura. There you have Yitzir L'chulin. Shogig is less than Pegiya, there's no Yitzir L'chulin. We tried to take that spar into Rav Yehuda and ran up against the wall. But if we switch it, if we say no, not that the Me'ila is the result of Yitzir L'chulin, but rather Dinei Me'ila are the source of Yitzir L'chulin, so where you have Dinei Me'ila, namely, when you have shogeg kodshei kodshim, where you have dinei me'ila, where you have shogeg and kodshei kodshim, then you have yitzir l'chulin. If we have mezid, there's no yitzir l'chulin. If we have kodshei kalim, there's no yitzir l'chulin. This is what Rav Yehuda is saying. That's what our Gemara is telling us. What does it mean? What does it mean to say that dinei me'ila bring about the yitzir l'chulin? That it appears to be, you know, like, going in the wrong direction, that the kapara brings about the yitzia l'chulin. The yitzia l'chulin is the pegia. Why should the dinim bring about the yitzia l'chulin? Now, this l'chora is the cause. This is what you're doing, and this is therefore the result of what you have to do to atone for it. We're saying no, that the atonement is that which is going to bring about a yitzia l'chulin. What is that? How does that make sense? What's the logic of Rav Yehuda within our Gemara?
That just reflects the fact that there's the Nemila reflects the fact that there's Yitzhi Lahulin.
And therefore, where there are no Dinei Nemila, why should that mean that? In other words, I agree with you 100%. It is a reflection, but the reflection is telling us that something within Dinei Nemila is relevant, has a very powerful effect on the fact that we're going to have over here a Yitzhi L'chulin. So here I was stuck, you know, where it's I couldn't understand it until I saw the Sefer of Rav Lichtenstein. Rav Lichtenstein wrote a number of Shomer were written up over the Shomer of Rav Lichtenstein, and one of them is on Perek HaShoel Abav Metzia. And there, he repeats a theme over and over that would explain this interconnection or reflection, vilushonka, which I think is a proper terminology. Let's think to ourselves. Let's move out of Mi'ilah a minute. Let's say I have a book that I'm makdish, and I now want this book to return to the world of chulin. I want to use the kovetz. Mefarshim, I can't use it if it's hektish. That's going to be me'ila. I want to use it. What do I do in order to be able to use this book? Pidyon. I have to give the value of the book to hektish, and only then I can use it. That's in the world of heter. In the world of Easter, what brings about yitzia l'chulin? We said it. A pigia in kedusha, a pigia in gezel v'chulay. Maybe what else do we need? Pidyon. Maybe we also need pidyon. In Dine Me'ila, we have pidyon. We have Karen V'chomesh. That's the din of pidyon. Pidyon is that if I'm the owner, not only do I have to give back the Karen, I have to give back the Chomesh as well. Namely, over here, Dine Me'ila is not just the Korban Hashem. Dine Me'ila means that I have to give value to Hekdesh. And so even if I have all the conditions of Yitzhi L'chule, I'm talking about Berek Habayit, I'm talking about Hotzah, I'm talking about Hanoah with a meaningful shimush. I have all the conditions, but it's not going to go to chulin until I'm poded it. So where I have a framework of pidyon, then we can speak about yitzia l'chulin. Where there's no framework of pidyon, I can't speak about yitzia l'chulin. So in the case of shogeg and koshei koshim, I have the framework, I have the manganon, I have the mechanism of yitzia l'chulin. Where I'm missing the mechanism, even though I have the reasons behind the scenes, but I can't do anything. Nothing is going to go l'chulin until the value is given. Only in Dine Me'ila do we have that world of pidyon. So what we find over here is that, according to Rav Yehuda is telling us everything we said is correct. I'm not disagreeing with anything that was said in terms of what conditions do you need in order to be yotzei l'chulin. You have to add one more condition. There have to be Dine Me'ila. When there are Dine Me'ila, it's going to go out l'chulin. When there are no dine me'ila, it's not going to go out l'chulin. And that gives us a shot in our sugya. We're dealing with you baking bread with atzei hekdesh, and for some reason these atzei hekdesh, even though you're burning them, they don't go out l'chulin. How can that be? It can be if we're dealing with a case where there are no dine me'ila. Either I'm burning it b'mezid, which the Gemara didn't want to offer as an option because lab b'rishi yaskinan, or we're dealing with atzei shlamim, which are not Kodshei Hashem, they are a lesser form of Kedusha. On the lesser form of Kedusha, there are no Dine Me'ila. No Dine Me'ila, no Pidyon. No Pidyon, no Yitzhiya L'chulin. Namely, that we have to add in that Yitzhiya L'chulin requires the Pigia plus a form of Pidyon. The form of Pidyon that we're talking about is Dine Me'ila. This is according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir doesn't know of this. Rav Meir speaks about the chumrah of the Pegiyah, right? And therefore, Mezid, there is Yitzhiya L'chulin, and in Shogeg, there's no Yitzhiya L'chulin. And the Gemara raises its arm, so what's Karen V'chomesh doing over here? In other words, if you didn't do that be'ad pegiyah, so why should you have this whole package in order to get atonement? And the Gemara was bothered by it and has to come on to Nukimta of Achila. Masha'enkein, according to Rav Yehuda, we switch it around. That certainly there's more of a pegiyah in Mezid. But so what is more of a pegiyah? It's not going to go to Chulin unless we have pidyon. Only in a case where we have a framework of pidyon is it going to be a yitzia l'chulin. Only in Shogeg are going to have yitzia l'chulin. Kevan de Mo'al Bishkaga Nischalel HaKodesh. That when we have the Me'ilah Bishkaga, we have the mechanism of pidyon, and then when we have the proper forms of the Nekavayas and the Gezo and Shimush, etc., then we're going to have a yitzia l'chulin. Okay? So this then is, again, I'm saying it over in the name of Rebbe Lichtenstein, not saying it over in his name, that you should accept this Torah B'Sinai, but saying it over his name, because I think it's really a very, very powerful shot, because it answers the switch. Why in the world should there be Yitzhak Lechud and Shogeg and not in Mezid? Right? So here, the same key term we have in Mezid is the key term that we have in Kodesh Kodashim, namely the lack of the mechanism of Pidyon. And since that's a mechanism which is motzi lechulin in the world of heter, so yitzachem to say that it's also that which is going to be motzi lechulin in the world of Easter. Tov, okay. Any questions? Now the Gemara was just simply bothered. We have a Mishnah, actually a Braisa, at the end of Tmura, which doesn't fit in with everything that we've said. Tanya kol hanisrafim. A faron mutar, that's where up to right. The kolhecha de mol hamasik nafke lechulin. Vatanya kol hanisrafim a faron mutar chutz me atze ashera the efer hektesh. If you recall, we saw this. You haven't begun a chazar yet, but back on daf kaf aleph amud beis, all the way back in the first blot that we learned in Elul. We pointed out that there's a machlokis that we're going to come to in a few minutes between Rav Yehuda and Rabbanan. How do we dispense of chametz on Erev Pesach? How are we mekayim tashbisu? According to Rabbanan, in any way, and according to Rav Yehuda, specifically in Sreifa. We have a Mishnah in the end of Tmura, which divides Yisuri Hano into two categories, the Nisrafim and the Nikbarim. Which category does Chametz on Pesach fit into? It depends. It's the Machlokes. According to Rav Yehuda, it's the Nisrafim. It's similar to what else is in the category of Nisrafim? Nosa. What? Nosa, we're going to see. What else? Kiliakerem, Orla. That we were talking about earlier. Trumatmeya. Those are the Nisrafim. Masha'enkein, according to Rabbanan, is in the category of the Nikbarim, like Basar V'chalav, like Egla Arufa, Shor HaNiskal, the Nikbarim. The Nikbarim, in other words, the Nafgamina between the Nikbarim and the Nisrafim is the Eifer. That the Eifer of the Nisrafim is Mutar, the Eifer of the Nikbarim remains Aser, like nuclear waste, it remains Aser. Why is the aether of the Nisrafim mutter? This is what we discussed. Not right. We're coming. Putting together strings. Nas and mitzvasa. When you have a mitzvah on the object that it should be nisraf, like kilei hakerem, and you fulfill that mitzvah, then the iser hanoah dissipates. As to whether by burning the chametz the iser hanoah is going to dissipate depends as to whether it's min hanisrafim, and then we have a chiyuv on the chefza. Or it's minanikvarim. Minanikvarim means we have a chiyuv on the individual tashbisu, but there's nothing within the chefza. There's no nasei mitzvasa within the chefza. That we discussed back on Kaf Aleph Amid Beis. But we have two exceptions to the rule: atzei ashera and hektesh. Atzei ashera and hektesh are both minhanisrafim, and yet the efer remains asur. Chutz me atzei ashera is avodah zara. Avodah zara, we have a chumras of avodah zara. Lo yidvak biyodcha ma'uma min acherem. Pointed out that avodah zara is not batel, even b'mashuhu hu hadin were machmir on the efer, except in one case that Rashi and Tosis relate to, that if we're dealing over here with an asherah that belongs to a goy and the goy burns it, that's a form of bitul. He is negating the essence of the avodah zarah, and therefore the aether is mutter. Masha'en kein aether hekdesh, even though it's min hanisrafim, is aser la'olam. And so the question is, how can that be? We pointed out that anytime you have me'ila, it's yotzei le'chulin, when you have the right conditions, when you have me'ila of Bedek Habayis and Yitziah and the Hana of Shimush and Shogeg, it's yotzei le'chulin. And if it's yotzei le'chulin, then l'chor the Afer is mutar. Amar Abivar Chama, ukimta. Kigon shenafla d'leka me'eleha ba'atzei hekdesh, d'leka inish d'nimo. The brice over there in Tmura is where there was no me'ila. Where there was no me'ila, that's when the Afer is usur, or the other alternative is for Rav Shmaya Amar. But here there's two girsos. Rashi's girsa is ba'oso shetoun geniza, and the girsa we have in our Gemara is ba'osan shetounin geniza. Why am I stressing this? Rashi's girsa and the girsa of our Gemara. What are we talking about over here? What requires geniza? What afer of hekdesh requires geniza? So Rashi points out Trumas Hadeshen, that we pointed out that Trumas Hadeshen is the exception, that even though Na'aseis Mitzvasa, the Torah says V'samo Eitzel HaMizbeach, that it's still Aser B'Hanoah, that's the exception that we saw on the Kavav Amud Aleph. Who expands the exception? Rashi has the exception only for Trumas Hadeshen. Where do we see a Rishon that expands the exception to include more than Trumas Hadeshen? That was the Rambam. It includes all the Deshanim, the Deshan of the Menorah, and the Deshan of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the Deshan of the Mizbeach HaChitzoni, and the Trumas HaDeshan. All of them have a din of the Samo Eitzel HaMizbeach. They all have a din that the Iser Hana'ah remains. So the Girsa over here in our Gemara, Bo'osan Shetunim Gineza, fits in very beautifully according to the Shita of the Rambam. Rashi, L'Shita So, doesn't have a plural of Osan. So he says, Ba'oso Afer Shato and Geniza in the Afer, the Trumas Hadeshen, da da da. There was machlokes between the Rashi and the Ravid on one hand and the Rambam on the other hand. The pasuk of this Samo is found by Trumas Hadeshen. The Rambam applied it to all Deshen. That's what we discussed, that according to Rashi, we have over here Xeras Akasu, that even though Naseis Mitzvah, so there's still Mi'ila, that was the context of the Sugya that we saw on Daf Kavav Amud Aleph, the Rambam understood, no, Mi'ila certainly there's not going to be, it's Naseis Mitzvah, but there's still going to be an Iser Hanoa Mida Oraisa. That's the Samo Eitzel HaMizbeach. Okay, that's what we have up to the two Dafs. So far so good? Okay, you begin to prepare the next Sugya? Okay, so let's see where we can move to. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ein biur ella disreifa. The question is, what's Rav Yehuda's source? The Torah simply says tashbisu. What's the source that ein biur ella disreifa? The nisrafim, we have a source. Orgo is compared to kilei hakerem, and kilei hakerem, it says pentukdash. That's boer. Where do we have a comparison of chametz on Pesach to orgo to kilei hakerem? Singer says, we have a comparison to nosar. V'hadin nosein. Ma nosar, where the Torah says black and white, ba'esh tisareif, ve'eino be'bal yera'e u'be'bal yematzei, b'cholzo to'un sreifa, even though we only have a mitzvah asei of sreifa. We don't have the mitzvah losa asei of bal yera'e u'be'yematzei, that when you postpone the sreifa, you're going to be over isurim. Chameit she'eshno be'bal yera'e u'be'yematzei, when you postpone its destruction, you're going to be over isurim. Lo kol shekein shetoun sreifa. Namely, the assumption is that if we have a situation of kal v'chomer, if we see that chametz is more chomer than nosar, kal v'chomer, that it's going to have the din of sreifa. If nosar has the din of sreifa, even though it's kal, so chametz, kal v'chomer, should have the din of sreifa because of its chomer. Correct? Amru lo. So Rabbanan answered back, Kol din shatadon tchilaso lahachmir besofa lahakel, eino din. That a kal v'chomer has to be consistent. Namely, that we are creating a situation which is commensurate with the kal v'chomer, that the chomer is always going to be more chomer, that the that by bringing the din of sreifa into the world of chometz, that's going to make chometz more it's chomer l'shitato. Chometz has bayira bayimot, that's one chumra. Now it's also going to have the din of sreifa, which is learned out from Nosar. However, if this is going to bring about a kula, then it's that will break the kal v'chomer. Then over here, lo matza eitzim l'sarfo yehei yoshev ubatel. HaTorah amra tashbisu su'armi batechem b'chol dover shatei yochol l'ashbisu. Then we had Rabbi Yehuda not learned his kal v'chomer. So the baseline of tashbisu is Rabbanon. The baseline of tashbisu is any means. You can shred it, you can throw it into Yam HaMelech, you can burn it, you can drown it, you can do whatever you want with it, send it to the moon. You can do whatever you want with it, tashbisu. Rav Yehuda, because of the kal v'chomer, to make it more chomer, he wants to limit it to sreifa. But that's a kula, shieshima, that's a chumra, I'm sorry, shieshima, kula. That if you don't have a match, so if you don't have a match, you can't burn it. And then you're going to simply look at this chametz, an honest rachmana patre. Had he not learned the kal v'chomer, he could have shredded it, drowned it, v'chulei v'chulei. So we have over here a situation where the tchilaso lahachmir v'sofo lahakel, and that should override or undermine, if you want to, the kal v'chomer. So the Gemara continues, chazer Rav Yehuda v'danu din acher. So Rav Yehuda was bothered by this question, and he offers a different solution. Who points it out? By the Maram Chalva, Alatar, is that Rav Yehuda really doesn't hold with this principle. He was really not, but personally, his shita was that even if Tzkiyasa Olahachmir, V'sofa Olahachiyah, that doesn't undermine the Kal V'chomer. But if it bothered Rabbanon, so he wanted to give a drasha that even Rabbanon, L'shitatam, should agree with him. He's trying to convince them that he's correct. It's not going to help to convince them he's correct L'shitato. He has to convince them that he's correct L'shitatam. Yes, Mendel.
This is something obvious, but it seems like there would have been an even better kula that he could have stated, because what they're getting into circumstantial kula, but there's a halachic kula because the eighth will be with her.
Excellent. That's an excellent, excellent, excellent question, and you are mechaving to the world of the Kovetz Shiurim, to the world of Yochanan Wasserman, that what Mendel is asking is, why in the world did the Gemara come to this ukimta of a person without a match? And over there we're going to have a kula when this person is sitting on his his easy chair without the match. And everyone else is getting rid of their chametz with all sorts of machines and catapults, etc. And he's just sitting because he doesn't have a match. Why come onto that ukimta? Simply say that the difference is that according to Rav Yehuda, the Afer is going to be mutter. According to all the others, the Afer is going to be usser. Namely, that the chumrah of chametz is going to continue according to the others. It's going to remain usser b'hanoi even after it's burnt. Well, according to Rav Yehuda, we have a built-in kula. We have a kula. The moment you burn it, the afer is already going to be mutter. You could use it for fertilizer. You could use it for shampoo. That's in the time of Chazal. They used to use afer for shampoo. You still use afer for shampoo, but they call it by all sorts of fancy names. But you can use it for other purposes. So why over that lechor the kula, that built into Rav Yehuda's kumra is a kula? Why have to come on to an ukimta? So Rav Elchanan gives an answer, which is that the question is a klutz kasha. In other words, it's his question, not your question. Your question is a good question. When we're dealing with a kula which is built into the chumra, that's not a kula. Namely, every chumra is sort of a package. And the package of requiring it to be burnt, and then the afer is going to turn out to be mutter, that's the nature of burning. That's built into the nature of burning. We're not going to call that a kula. In his language, the kula, which is a tolda of the chumra, is not a kula. That's simply part of the package deal. That's what it means to say that you burn it. When you burn it, then the afer is mutter. That's the din nisraf mefar mutarim. That's not a kula. A kula means dafka unukimta. when we have a case which is out of the box, when we have a case which is not built in, and we're going to have a kula, that's the chumra b'tchilaso shemaybi lidei kula. Namely, that the assumption of the question was that we're searching for any leniency. We're not searching for any leniency. A leniency which is built in is not a leniency. That's part of the chumra. The chumra has, let's say, for example, if I tell you that you're going to be sent to jail for 10 years, but because you're going to be sent to jail for 10 years, every 5 months you're going to have visitation rights. Masha Enkin, if you were to be sent to jail for a month, you would have no visitation rights. That's not a kula that you have visitation rights. Part of the chumra comes along with this with this leniency, but it's part of the chumra. It's not a kula. The kula is how long the jail sentence is. If the jail sentence is a month, that's a kula, even if there are no visitation rights. To be in jail for 10 years with visitation rights, that's not a chumra and a kula. That's a chumra. However, if by the fact that you're in jail for 10 years you don't pay income tax, right? Masha Enke, when you go to jail for a month, you're going to pay income tax, and it turns out that you're going to be making money by being in jail. That's nothing to do with being in jail. That's simply a side benefit. That could be a chumra b'tchilaso shemevi lidei kula. In other words, if we're dealing with something which is external to the punishment, not something which is built into the punishment. Okay, so you hear? So Rav Chanan asked the question and answers the question. I pointed out that sometimes you have achronim who sort of were mitrabesh on a sugya. Rav Chanan, if you look, he can just be a little mayor, a little here, a little here, a little there. Also, on this sugya, he has like six paragraphs, and he raises issues that were raised generally by achronim, and deals with them in his own unique manner. So he raises an issue over here that was dealt with by the achronim. Really, what is the halacha according to Rav Yehuda? Namely, currently the Gemara is trying to build up Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says you can't build Rav Yehuda on Nosar because you're going to have this strange situation where you're going to be twiddling your thumbs when everyone else is busy destroying their chametz. But Rav Yehuda really holds that way. That's the bottom line. Rav Yehuda holds that ein bir chametz ela disreifa. And if you don't have a match, then onus rechmana patret. So what does that mean? That you just sit and don't do anything? That, you know, where it's, shouldn't you at least... So isn't there a problem by Yerutz about, in other words, shouldn't you be involved at least in some form of try to get rid of it in some other way? So give it to a goy. So be mafkir it. Throw it, you know, do something with it. Just to sit there and say, I don't have a match, I'm potter. In other words, is there anything that should be done or could be done according to Rav Yehuda? So here we have to go back to Rashi. Look in Rashi. Shim lo matza eitim yeshev yibatel b'tmiya. Shim lo matza eitim yeshev yibatel v'af agav da amrinam perakama l'Rav Yehuda. Aval bishas bi uro hashbasa b'chol davar gabi pruktayhu. The Gemara earlier on Daf Yud Beis and the days limited the din of Rav Yehuda. There's a machlokas, Rav Meir, Rashi and Tosas over there, but we're learning Rashi now, so we're going to learn Rashi l'shitasim. The Gemara says that there are two dinim of tashbisa. We have tashbisu bishas bi'uro and tashbisu shelo bishas bi'uro. When does Rav Yehuda say that there's a din of sreifa? That's shelo bishas bi'uro. However, bishas bi'uro, then Rav Yehuda agrees with Rabbanan that tashbisu is b'chol davar. That's the Gemara in Daf Yud Beis and Beis. Gemara learns that from Sukkim. What does that mean? What is Shas Biuro? And what is Lo B'Shas Biuro? So Rashi says that Rashi over there on Daf Yud Beis and Beis, Shas Biuro means Erev Pesach Mishay Sha'os Ulamala. Namely, that when Chometz is Osir Mida Oraisa, that's Shas Biuro, And there Rav Yehuda agrees that you destroy chametz, if you don't have a match, so destroy it by grinding it, by blending it, by blowing it up with a bomb. Do whatever you want to it. That's then the chol davar. What shrovish aspiuro, that's beforehand. I mean beforehand. What beforehand is there? There's no din of this. The din of tashbizu comes about, Erev Pesach from Shei Shoah Salamah, that's shaspiuro. What does it mean to say that Kohen Shav Yehuda is a din of Sreifa, but Shalom b'Shashishis? What? Could be Shashishis. Or here, right, this is what we saw that there's a Gemara earlier on the Vav Amud Aleph in Pesachim, that a person who is leaving home within 30 days before Pesach, he has to do beer on his chametz within those 30 days. Those 30 days are the Sholem V'Dorashim. Those 30 days are, there's an awareness of Pesach, and therefore he has to do Tashbisu before he leaves his home. Rav Yehuda says, when he does Tashbisu during those 30 days before Pesach, when he's planning on leaving his home, that has to be B'Sreifa. That's the Chiyuv of Sreifa. That's what Rashi points out over here. B'mishu who wrote Selosais B'Shayara, O betoch shloshim, amrinan zakuk levaer, ukishein eitzim lasarfo ye yoshe hubata velo yevaarenu. Namely, that if we're talking about the situation where he's sitting at home, and there, you know, it's and he's planning on remaining home, and he doesn't have a match, so what's the big deal? So he will just wait until shashishis and then take care of it. B'chol davar. Namely, the only situation where we're going to have a kula is where he has to do it now. It's now or never. He's leaving home. And there is a chiyuv biur. And that chiyuv biur is b'sreifa. And he doesn't have a match. That's the case of Yoshev Batel. So over here, what Rav Chanan points out is that the moment that we have a chiyuv of biur, then all of our patentim to... All of our patentim to be okay, to
circumvent.
All of our patentim, even visual lessons, okay. all of our patentim to circumvent the need of biur are no longer permissible. When do we do the bitul chametz, the hefker chametz, selling it to the goy, giving it to a goy? That before the chiyuv biur enters in. The moment there's a chiyuv biur, then it's too late. I can't get rid of my chiyuvim of biur by passing it on to someone else. That has to do beforehand. If I do it beforehand, then I no longer need a biur. When do we have a chiyuv biur? Under one of two circumstances: either b'shas biuro, according to the clock, or shavo b'shas biuro when I'm going to leave. The moment I'm going to leave, then I'm already chayav in biur. Once I'm chayav in biur, I no longer have those options of bezika. I no longer have those options of being mechir. of taking out of my rishus as well. So what we have over here is sort of if I'm home, so in achinami, if I'm home, so until the shas biur, I can give it to a goy. Until the shas biur, I can be mafkir it. I can get rid of my problems that way, or just wait until the sixth hour and get rid of the chametz in any way. There, in achinami, I just can't sit and say, oh, I'm home, I don't have a match, I don't have to do anything. So there, let me get rid of the chametz. But if I'm leaving the home, namely that I have a chiyuv biur because of my situation, this chiyuv biur already no longer allows me to circumvent the din of biur. Then I have to need sreifa and have a match. Then we have the situation of Yoshev Batel. So those are the two things that Rabbi Chanan points out, al atar. Okay, so the Gemara then says, the Chazar Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda, because of this question of Sofo Lekulo, has to revamp his Shita. And he says, Chazar Rav Yehuda, v'dano din acher. Nosar osur ba'achila v'chametz osur ba'achila. Here we're not dealing on the level of a kal v'chomer. We're dealing on the level of what we classically call a b'me matzino. Rashi says the words gzeira shava. this is not a gzera shava. Gzera shava is when you have a word here and a word there that are basically the same shoresh or the same meaning or whatever, right. This is a bema matzinu. That's the Rashash points out. So the Rashi sometimes uses the word gzera shava when we're dealing to not a kavachomer. It means not a kavachomer. So just as we have a din bema matzinu that we have an iser achila in noser, we have an iser achila in chametz. Manoser bisreifa, chametz bisreifa. This already we know the answer. It's not every situation you have an iser achila. If you have a din asreifa, amrulo nevela tochiach shasur b'achila ve'enatun asreifa. Ah, hefresh. Nosar osar b'achila v'hanoah. And chametz osar b'achila v'hanoah. That knocks nevela out of the picture. Ma nosar to'en sreifa. Again, with the b'matzinu, af chametz to'en sreifa. Amrulo, that's so easy. Not all isurei hanoah have a din of sreifa. Shur haniska. It's basar v'chalav. They're min ha nikvarim. Sh'osar b'achila v'hanoah v'eino to'en sreifa. Amrulo, no. Hefresh nosar osar b'achila v'hanoah v'anush kares. Chametz aser b'achilu b'ananush kares, as opposed to shor haniskal and baser v'chalav, there's no kares. So,
it's a unique common denominator?
That we have a unique common denominator, right. So far, made up of three factors. We'll see in the Gemara, we're going to get to one more factor. Amru lo chelbo shor haniskal yochiyach. There we have all of these factors. Aser b'achila, because it's chelev. Aser b'hanoah, because it's shor haniskal. Anush kares because it's chelev, ve'eno to'en sreifa, chazar Rabbi Yehuda v'dano din acher, no sar yeshno v'bal tosiru, v'chametz v'bal tosiru. That we have four factors that combine or that connect or that compare chametz to nosar. Iser achila, iser hana, kares, and we have a din of bal tosiru. Okay, here we'll stop for the day. What I'd like to do on Sunday is complete this sugya with the Mar Makomos that I offered you, and hopefully to get to the Mishnah. Okay, we'll try to get to the Mishnah, so I'll give you some more Mar Makomos in Yitzhak Hashem tomorrow. And then, how long do you think you would like to have a chazara? I'm willing to bargain.
2 weeks.
I heard two.
3. 2.5.
Okay, I look at the calendar. I think that two full weeks, if you really put in the time. Okay, two full weeks of chazara would be meaningful, and then we'll have a written chazara, and then we'll continue in the session. Okay. Okay, but we'll see. I don't know if we'll finish on Sunday. The goal is to try and get up to the Mishnah meaningfully on Sunday.